Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio across our great CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and the radio.com application. The number to call and hang with us, as always, is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can also interact with us on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And also on our networks account, at CBS Sports Radio. Have Mikey B, Mike Biseglia here with us producing the extravaganza, and Antonio Grillo, as it's the final day of Notan DiBenedetto, as he is on a little vacation in Jamaica, coming back tonight. He'll be back tomorrow, but always great to have Antonio Grillo here with us running the board on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And all three of us, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. So I was thinking about what we were going to lead the show with today when I woke up, and I saw the Matthew Stafford trade rumors. You know, you see a little bit too, about some other NFL happenings. And then you get hit right smack in the face once again with this baseball scandal with the Houston Astros. And we know that there really is no escaping this. Eventually, it's going to die down. But right now, when everyone's going to spring training, that's going to be the hot button topic. It's going to be that, and that's going to be number one. Then you're also going to have this idea that's possibly being implemented in 2022 of potentially expanding the playoffs with seven teams in each league getting in the postseason, maybe a little bit on the three batter minimum. And then when you get into your individual needs, there will be things that will be asked about. If you're at Mets camp, you'll ask about the bullpen. If you're with the Yankees, you'll ask about the addition of Gerrit Cole. And if you're with the Boston Red Sox, you'll ask about the trade with Mookie Betts and David Price and so on and so on. You get the point. But really, the entire baseball world in this week, next week, and probably throughout the season is going to be asked about the Houston Astros scandal. And there's going to be more that comes out about this scandal. I don't fully believe the MLB's investigation. I think many people don't believe the findings of that investigation as well. And when you have people that question the findings of the investigation, you're going to have reporters. You're going to have, it doesn't even need to be reporters. Nowadays, if you just have a Twitter account, you could find things. And people are going to keep on digging and digging and digging to try to find out more situations about this scandal, more news about this scandal with the Houston Astros. That's why I've been harping on the entire week. The presentation of the apology is so important. It is extremely important how the Houston Astros apologize. Because we saw a few weeks ago when they're at the Fan Fest with Bregman and with Altuve, it didn't seem very authentic. They came off both as very, very arrogant. And when you do something that offends a lot of people and you don't say sorry with some authenticity and you don't apologize the right way, people are going to roll their eyes or people are going to throw their hands up in the air and they're going to be annoyed and they're going to get on whatever platform they have and they're going to complain. So when I woke up this morning, you also know that, yes, today is the day where Jim Crane and you found out Dusty Baker had nothing to do with this scandal, but now he's the manager of the Houston Astros, and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve are going to speak. So let's just go off that when you look at the approach of the press conference. All right, you put up Dusty Baker on the podium. He's the manager. He's the new leader. He's the guy that you're bringing in and also happens to be greatly respected across the game of baseball. No problem with Dusty Baker being up there. Does he necessarily need to be up there? No, because he didn't have any role in this scandal. He wasn't with the team. But as a manager, it would look a little bit funky if you're talking about the new direction of the Astros, you're talking about the leadership, and you don't have the manager up there, especially when, yes, you could throw the manager up there, and he's not going to deflect any of the blame or deflect any of the attention. But if he's asked questions or when he gives a statement, you know that it's going to be presented the right way. And to no surprise, Dusty Baker played his part on the stage today, on the podium, did a very good job. And then you find out with Jim Crane, Bregman, and Altuve. Let's start with Bregman and Altuve, and then we'll get to Crane, who threw up all over himself in this entire press conference. Bregman and Altuve. So the thought process of putting them up at the podium today is what? Well, they were so bad a few weeks ago. People are annoyed. People are irate. They are very upset with what was said from both of them. So let's put them back up there, and we'll do the apology over again. And maybe this time, there will actually be a genuine apology from Bregman and from Altuve. And depending on what team you root for, or depending on how gullible you are, you either thought that was authentic, or you thought it was once again going through that cycle of a disingenuous apology. And when I look at Bregman on that podium, you could not have scripted a faker apology. And then for Altuve, he starts it off, I'll be brief. Okay, thanks. Already telling us that this is going to be short and then I'm going to be out of here. And those players at the press conference didn't take any questions. They had their statements. And then they were ushered right back into the clubhouse. And eventually we did hear from them and they were made available to members of the media. So Baker looked fine. Bregman and Altuve, I was not buying what they were selling. And the statements were so fake and so scripted. And you could tell they were basically going on whatever direction that PR did tell them to go on in terms of trying to get this apology correct. Now, let's get to Jim Crane. Because Jim Crane is the owner of the team. Jim Crane is not going to get punished in this scandal in terms of a suspension or anything like that. His team got fined $5 million. So that, you know, I guess you could say hurts him. No one wants to lose $5 million. But to Jim Crane, that's a penny to us. That's what it is. You know, or like a penny. You know, how we look at a penny, that's how Jim Crane looks at $5 million. So Jim Crane, you would think, you know, maybe the players screw it up. Okay, they're players. Maybe they screw it up. Dusty Baker, you know, is not going to screw it up. But Jim Crane, you're speaking for your organization. This is the tone that the owner is trying to set. And what does he do? Well, he absolutely embarrasses himself. And he makes himself a laughingstock on Twitter, on whatever form of social media you want, and then also on TV and radio shows across the country. Let's first hear Jim Crane, who had all this time to figure out what he's going to say from the last time we heard about him. Let's hear about Jim Crane talking about the impact of the scandal.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Oh, what a bunch of baloney. He didn't say it didn't impact the game? Grillo, one more time. Play me that cut over again, and I'll tell you when we'll cut it short. Let's hear early on once again if he said that this scandal didn't impact the game or whatever the Astros were doing.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game.
Right there. Bingo. You know, come on down. The Price is Right. Cue the music. You're going to tell me You said you didn't say it didn't impact the game. And then when a reporter, whoever that reporter is, standing ovation, standing ovation. Because many times, member of the media, they sit there in these press conferences and they shiver in their boots and they're afraid to ask the proper questions when someone is selling you baloney. And that is what Jim Crane was doing today. He was selling garbage, whether you bang on the garbage can or not to get that garbage, that's one thing. But he was selling garbage, baloney, whatever word you want. It was absolutely dog crap what he was trying to say. Oh, yeah, it didn't impact the game. Then, Jim, why were your players doing it? Can you answer that question, Jim? Why were your players participating in this scandal where they were getting these signals that determined if an off-speed pitch or not was coming or a fastball, whatever it was? Why did your players want that information? Because, of course, it helped them. Think about this. If you are in a batter's box and you hear a trash can banging that's telling you an off-speed pitch is coming, you know what is going to happen. It helps you in that split second that you have when you swing the bat to get your timing right and make that decision. But Jim Crane wants to tell you this. Well, we're World Series champions. It didn't affect us. It didn't impact the game. Come on. If you're buying that garbage, you're the biggest Houston Astros fan ever alive. And even if you are the biggest Houston Astros fan alive, you should be able to decipher truth and BS. And what Jim Crane was saying was absolute BS. All right, let's hear the next cut from Jim Crane, because I'm wondering through his entire statement, what is he actually apologizing for?
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Wait, that's how they ended the press conference? Just said peace, done. Little tough question. Jim Crane looking stupid. And you're going to end the press conference right there. My, oh, my. Hey, you couldn't even write this script. PR people are going to look back at this, and they are going to do how-tos. How to not say you're sorry. And then at the end, all of a sudden, it's, yeah, maybe it, you know, you could make the case it impacted it. You could maybe make the case that it didn't impact the game. I'm not saying the Houston Astros directly won the World Series because of this scandal, but it does give an advantage to your hitters. Why do you think people try to steal signs all the time? But there's a legal way of doing it, which is gamesmanship, and which is part of the game for a long time, and then there's illegal ways of doing it. And what the Houston Astros did was illegal. And there's still, they can tell you all the you want about, we have good manager, good GM, blah, 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 you know, fantastic players, all that. There's still an accountability issue in the Astros organization. Someone I was very impressed with was Carlos Correa. He stepped up and faced the music the proper way. When we come back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, we'll play you some of that audio from Carlos Correa. And also, we get to hear once again from Altuve and Bregman. You don't want to miss this audio, because with all the time that they had, they were so convincing and they were so sincere and they were so apologetic that really, if you believe that stuff and you can't understand that sarcasm in my voice and you actually listen to this stuff and go, wow, Altuve and Bregman, it's a 180, please. You may as well be popping the champagne with the Astros the next time they win the World Series, because you're a big-time fanboy. 16 after the hour, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
Come on down, it's The Price is Right. Let's try to figure out who's going to issue a more terrible apology today. Is it going to be Jim Crane? Is it going to be Alex Bregman? Or is it going to be Jose Altuve? Let's put all your bets in right now. Whoever gets the lowest price or the closest thing to it, however the game show goes, because you can't go over right. Isn't that how it always is in The Price is Right? See, that's one thing I never like about The Price is Right. You could be the closest one to the actual price, but if you go over, you lose. I don't like that because if someone bets, for example, 2 cents, and let's just say it's $850, and they go $850.02, that's a lot closer than the person with 2 cents.
Yeah, that's the strategy of The Price is Right. It's been going on for years. I don't want to, you know, hurt the integrity of that game, but I see your point. It does make for a little bit different of a competition. I would agree with that.
Is that a shot at the Astros with the integrity?
Trying my best, yeah.
Integrity is a big word today for the show. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, sir.
Big word, integrity. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. I'm really curious what the Houston Astros fan is feeling today. And I really am curious what the Houston Astros fan is feeling about this scandal. Because a lot of time when there's a scandal that involves a team, and that team's fan base will either do one thing, one or two things. One thing is we're going to protect our team blindly at all costs. The other is, okay, you actually read the information and you go, even though I love this team, even though I am an Astros fan, yeah, guys, this looks pretty bad and our guys look awful in this. So I actually had someone listening, eDrummer05, Eric Garcia. On Twitter, he chimes in at Zach Gelb. As a lifelong Astros fan, you are completely right. I'm not buying it, and neither is anyone listening to him, talking about Jim Crane. Glad to hear you on your new time slot. Well, we appreciate it, Eric. But I do happen to respect your opinion, and I think your opinion is a great one. And that is something that I admire a fan. And I'm not saying if you disagree, you have to throw your team under the bus and you have to rip them each and every day, but you need to at least acknowledge what's going on here was bad. And it's one thing, the actions that happen, and we'll all survive in the long run of this. This isn't life or death stuff. It's sports. It's fun. It gets serious at times. But overall, if the Astros just apologize the right way, and Tom Glavine said this yesterday, it's about taking accountability. Because the more and more you just seem disingenuous, you don't seem authentic, that's what is really going to strike a nerve with people. So let's hear a few cuts from the Astros players, because what Jim Crane said was a bunch of crap, where I said something, didn't say something, you know, didn't help us. Oh, no, I never said that, blah, blah, blah. Please, Jim Crane, you embarrassed yourself today. So let's hear a little bit from Jose Altuve about the buzzer, because everyone's asking about the buzzer. Mikey B and myself, we were talking about this yesterday. It seems very odd to me when you hit a home run to go to the World Series and when you're rounding third base, you're telling everyone, don't rip off my jersey, don't rip off my jersey, and then all your teammates do listen to you and don't have fun with you as a friend and actually rip off your jersey. So the whole buzzer thing, I think, is fair game, and MLB had the report, to be fair about it. They said they didn't find anything. And then A.J. Hinch, talking about Jim Crane throwing up all over himself, A.J. Hinch did the same thing where he basically just said he trusts what the commissioner did find in his investigation instead of emphatically denying. So Altuve has denied the buzzer before. He's had a long time to think this over. Let's hear from Jose Altuve on the buzzer.
If we go back and back, I have done it multiple times, and that doesn't mean I have a buzzer. And MLB did their investigation, and you know they didn't find anything. You know they found what they found, and in 2017 they really good investigated. Obviously, they did an investigation on you know the buzzer. They didn't find anything. So you know when you said you don't believe that I didn't have a buzzer, you don't believe in what MLB investigates.
Once again, they keep on pointing out the investigation. Hey, MLB said we didn't do anything wrong, so that means we didn't do anything wrong. And I know he said before he didn't use the buzzer, but that latter part is the way that I would approach it. I didn't use the buzzer. You don't have to go, don't ask that question again, because then people think you're arrogant. But all you have to say is, I didn't use the buzzer. I've never used a buzzer before. I never will use a buzzer in the future. I've never used the buzzer, period. They fail so much to be emphatic and actually to be convincing in these responses. Do they have PR people with the Houston Astros organization? Do these people do their jobs? Or do they just let the players speak whenever they want? Wouldn't surprise me. There's no accountability in that organization. All right, let's hear more from Altuve on how much the cheating in getting the signals and getting the communication about what the pitch was and what it was going to be happening, how much did that actually impact the game?
We play good at home. We play good on the road, you know, and I think that they can answer, hopefully answer your question. You know, it's really tough to say if it did or not. It can, you know, it could go either way.
So gutless. It's really gutless. Because what does Jose Altuve want to say there? Jose Altuve right there in that spot wants to say that it did not affect us. It did not impact the game. And going back to Jim Crane, I would have almost respected him more if he got out in front of the podium and in front of the media and said, guys, what happened happened. It's in the past. We're wrong. We're moving on. We're World Series champions. And you know what? I don't care about this anymore. Because that's what he wanted to say with all the other gibberish that he provided, which I'm still trying to translate because I don't understand what Jim Crane was trying to accomplish today. Just say that. Like, remember when Deflategate happened with Robert Kraft and the Patriots and Tom Brady and Belichick and that whole thing? When they flew after that AFC Championship game, you had that week off, and then when they flew down to what was, or out west, which was to Arizona, as they got ready to play the Seahawks, Robert Kraft got off the plane, went right up to the podium, and said he was embarrassed with the league in this, and he basically went on to his exact, close to his exact words, paraphrasing a little bit. He said, we will look at the Wells report, the investigation, and he said something along the lines of, and if it's wrong or when it's wrong, I want the league to apologize to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for what they had to go through. If they don't find definitively, you know, enough evidence to suggest that we were deflating the footballs intentionally. Kraft basically said, I don't give a bleep about this anymore. I'm setting a tone. If you don't like it, too bad and get out. And we're going for the commissioner and he's going to have to apologize to us one day. At least do that, Jim Crane, at this point. Because that's what you wanted to do. And you sat there at your podium today, at the dais today, and you made absolutely zero sense. And for Altuve, he wants to say the cheating didn't help. Then why did you do it? Why did you do it? And why did you guys have it go over the course of more than one season? Happened in 2017, and then at some point I'm just supposed to believe that at one time in 2018, before the postseason started, that they said, hey guys, we won a championship. We're going to cut this cheating stuff out of it. We don't need it. We're better than that. We're above that, please. All right, so we have Altuve. Let's get to Bregman. Let's hear his scripted apology about the scandal.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans.
It just seems scripted. When I hear that from Bregman, this sounds like someone that the night before, he was looking in the mirror, and he was looking at the mirror, doing the hand gestures, starts to try to take the pauses. Oh, I should pause here for about 3-4 seconds to try to actually make this look as if it's authentic. What they did today, it wasn't authentic. It's tough to actually mess up the apology. And they have had significant blunders with this apology now on multiple occasions. And it's disgraceful. You got caught. You cheated. Say you're sorry. Make it authentic. Don't make excuses. And move on. And eventually you could use it as motivation. You can use it as motivation. Everyone's against you. Everyone hates you. Let's go prove it this year and use that as a rallying call inside your clubhouse. That doesn't have to be a public message, though. But for Bregman and for Altuve, they could not have picked two worse spokespersons for this entire thing. And they just couldn't do it. At that time at the stadium, they were horrible. And today, they were horrible as well. And Jim Crane, as the owner of the team, you would happen to think Jim Crane would know how to apologize. And he completely butchered the entire thing. All right, let's hear from Carlos Correa. I'll give credit to Carlos Correa. He is actually someone that was clear, and he was someone that was emphatic in his answers and made me believe that Carlos Correa is someone that I could trust. Here's Carlos Correa speaking about the devices and the buzzers and how nobody wore them.
Nobody wore anything. 2018, nothing. 2019, nothing. 2017, nobody wore devices either. It was just, you know, what was out on the report.
So there you go. Clear, concise. We didn't do this, and the report backs it up. Instead of just going to the report right away and then trying to work your way into, and yeah, because the report said we didn't do it, that means we didn't do it. Instead, Correa, we didn't do this here, we didn't do that there, and the commissioner didn't find anything otherwise. Perfect way to handle it. As much as we boo and complain and yell about Crane and Altuve and Bregman, let's be fair. Correa hit a home run today, and they didn't need any signs to tell him the right information on how to go hit, knock this one out of the park. Tremendous job by Carlos Correa. And then there's a lot from the Wall Street Journal report about, and the Athletic report, about Carlos Beltran's role in this scandal and how people were intimidated by Carlos Beltran, AJ Hinch, and even McCann tried to allegedly approach him, and Beltran steamrolled right through him. Here is Carlos Correa speaking about Carlos Beltran.
Whoever the anonymous source is that's saying that we felt intimidated or we're too young to say something, that's just straight up. Beltran didn't intimidate nobody. Beltran's the nicest guy. And I know in Puerto Rican people will say, oh, he's just trying to protect him, but you can talk to every single guy here that was in 2017. Beltran is an unbelievable gentleman. He's a straight up gentleman, and nobody, not even you guys, nobody will feel intimidated by his presence, by his leadership, and whatever he has to say. He showed how to play baseball hard. He was a veteran. He was inspiring whenever we were slumping. He was there for us. So I don't see a person that's your mentor and is there for you when you're struggling as an intimidating person.
Why wasn't Carlos Correa at the podium today? Why'd they trot out Altuve? Why'd they trot out Bregman? They already failed the first time. Jim Crane, I know he's the owner. He has to be there, but he was embarrassing. They should have just had Carlos Correa be the spokesperson for the entire team. He did an outstanding job, so give credit to Carlos Correa. 34 past the hour. It's a Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Coming on back, talking more Astros scandal.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Amazing. I had to hear that again. That's the third time we have played this audio in the last 42 minutes. And it baffles me more and more and more each and every time I hear that. What happened, what we did, didn't impact the game. You know, we're the World Series champions. Oh, wait. You said that it didn't impact the game? Oh, no, I never said that. Come on. Ridiculous. Jim Crane, what are you doing? What are you doing? What were you trying to accomplish today? I throw my hands up in the air, and there's not a lot of times where a talk show host is at a loss for words. Today is one of those days where you just hear that and you're trying to think, what are you actually trying to accomplish? And the only thing I could come up with is he doesn't want to say that this impacted the game because he doesn't want his players to have to answer maybe for what, if the World Series is tainted or not, but they're going to get asked about that anyway. They're going to ask about that anyway because people don't trust the Astros and people don't trust Major League Baseball right now. So you may not want to admit that what you did impacted the game. But once again, I'll get back to the simple question. Then why did your players feel like they had to do this? And why did no one in the organization put an end to it? If it had minimal impact, And let's say if it had zero impact, wouldn't you think someone in that organization would say, hey, guys, let's knock it off because what we're doing is wrong, it's illegal, and it's not helping us. But of course it had an impact. To what extent? I don't know how to determine that. To figure out how many games extra did they win because they decided to go through and orchestrate this entire scheme? I don't know what the answer is. But there has to be some benefit. There has to be a beneficial reason to why you're going to go at this length to get the signs. And I'm okay if you're trying to get signs. I'm okay if you're trying to steal signs. But it has to be done without technology. Because that's the rules. And for Crane to just get up there and say, well, we're apologizing because we broke the rules. That's it. You're just apologizing because you got caught. That's what it is. Because all these players and all the managers, you know, of the past with Hinch and Cora, they could all say they're sorry. And there's a time and place to apologize. People make mistakes in life. But when you apologize, you need to have authenticity in your apology. And you need to be very careful with your words because in this society, you could say something great for 15 minutes. But from 15:01 to 15:27, you say something very stupid, what gets clipped? What gets blasted on social media? The 27 seconds where you messed up. So you need to find a way to say your words properly. Dusty Baker did that today. Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve? Nope, you failed. Jim Crane? You failed. Carlos Correa? Check. You succeeded. If I'm a Houston Astros PR person, if you have a press conference with a rest, you know, whenever you have press conferences, and some teams, you know, just walk in the clubhouse, do your media availability, but if you're going to put someone at the podium, put Carlos Correa at the podium, please. Put him at the podium. Because he knows how to connect with people, and he knows how to say sorry the correct way. So let's get to two other things from this entire aftermath of the scandal. How much of an effect does the aftermath of this scandal have on these players for this upcoming season and the entire organization? Because you look at that Houston Astros roster, it's a very good roster. It's a championship caliber roster. Yes, they lost Gerrit Cole. He goes to the Yankees. That's a big time problem if you're a Houston Astros fan. But there are still a plethora of players, an abundance of players that are very talented players and are very great at what they do. So I still think this team, based off a pure baseball standpoint, can still be a very good team this year. They may even be able to be a very great team this year. But there's one thing about talent and skill and the players you have on your roster. And then there's another thing about the mental side of this. Because every city you go, some places you're going to hear it worse than others. Some cities you're going to hear it worse than others. But almost every place you go, you're going to be asked about this. And the minute you slip up and show some frustration with the process from city to city, people are then going to clip those answers of frustration, and it's going to ignite more fuel to the fire. And who knows what else could be coming out about this. Just this week, you had some reports come out about Carlos Beltran and also Alex Correa. No, Alex Cora. Wow, I'm mixing names left and right. But just this week, you've had stuff come out. And I'm going to say throughout the course of the season, more and more things are going to come out. To what severity and how damaging and how explosive those things are going to be, I don't know. So can the Houston Astros be mentally strong enough in a sport that is about timing and instinct, and you don't want someone going up to the batter's box that is thinking about a whole bunch of different things. Are they going to be able to block out these distractions? I think the start of this Houston Astros season is going to be very telling. I think it's going to be very telling what type of team this is going to be. And if they have some problems early on in the season, are you going to be able to punch back and find a way to be like the Nationals from last year and be very resilient? Are they going to be able to do that? I don't know. To that part, I don't know. And I don't think anyone knows until we actually see it play out. I think what's best for baseball this year is for an Astros and a Yankees ALCS. That would be great. It would be unbelievable to see the Astros and the Yankees this year in the ALCS. And this scandal, hey, baseball could be offended and annoyed with it all they want. Baseball knows that this scandal, even though you don't want to deal with all the negative criticism, it could actually help the sport in having a villain. And to get them in the postseason this year, the Houston Astros would be very good for baseball. Because baseball, for the longest time, and when baseball's successful, or in any sport, there's polarizing figures. Right now, the Houston Astros are extremely polarizing. And the Houston Astros, they kick off the season. Let's see, who do the Astros play to kick off the season? Because it gets confusing when you look at the website with all the... Look up who the Astros play to start the season. Because like when you look at the schedule, it's impossible to like pretty much decipher. Their home opener is against the Angels. Who do they start the season, though, against? I would like to know because you have so much with it, spring training. I think it's the Indians. They may start the season with the Indians. I could be wrong with that. But when you look at all the scheduling and to see who they're going to play, it's going to be very compelling to see how these teams react to it. And that first Yankees series, because they play the Yankees, and I believe in May, but that's a home game. That series is going to have a lot of buzz. They're going to have a lot of buzz. And then I don't believe they go to Yankee Stadium until September. Yeah, they have a four-game series from September 21st to September 24th at Yankee Stadium. Who do the Astros open the season against?
So they open the season March 26th versus the Angels.
Against the Angels.
At home, yep.
That's who they open it up against. Okay. So is there a lot of juice with that one? Probably not. But it's weird. Like, you see on the schedule that I'm reading on the Astros website, it says the Indians for two games at Minute Maid Park. I guess that's an extension of spring training?
Yeah, then that's one of the issues with baseball. They had last season, they had regular season games abroad. Spring training games
was a disaster.
Going on, and it was like 8 months later, the regular season started. It was impossible to keep track of.
See, that is a perfect example of some of the marketing problems with baseball. I'm trying to figure out when these games are. I go to the website, trying to do it real quickly, and I'm looking, and all right, you see some of these games are spring training, and it's clearly denoted that they're spring training, and you look at other ones, and you're like, when does the season start? Because on this website, it says 23rd and 24th, at Minute Maid Park, the Indians, and then you see, okay, they're off the 25th and the 26th, the Astros home opener. So which one is it?
Mad props to CBSSports.com, who actually gives you when the regular season starts. But that was the third website down. Your natural instinct would be, let me go to the Astros site. I assume they would tell you their schedule.
Because I had someone tweet me today. And when someone tweeted me today, they go, oh, the Indians get the first crack at them. So then when I see the schedule, I go, Angels and Indians. I'm looking at them like, well, when do they actually start their season? So, all right, so it's the Angels on the 26th. That's when they open up the season.
Yeah, the Indians on the 24th is spring training.
At Minute Maid Park.
But it's at Minute Maid Park. Right, exactly.
All right, so is there going to be buzz for that for spring training? Probably not. I also would love to know, find out on that schedule when they play Cincinnati, because Trevor Bauer is going to be explosive all throughout the year. And then another point I want to talk about, and we'll get to this later on in the program, is this whole retaliation process. Because I see a bunch of people chiming in, oh, you should have other teams throw at them and really get retribution. I'm not all about that. But we'll delve into that later on in the show. It's the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the guest list, by the way. Coming up to kick off the next hour, Billy Ripken. He has a new book out, State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. So we'll chat with Billy Ripken for a few minutes coming up at the top of the hour. Ben Jacobson, the head basketball coach since 2006 at the University of Northern Iowa. He's going to stop by at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, and then at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we have Bashaud Breeland, Super Bowl champion from the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us in studio. So the number is always to hang, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. And when we come back, we got to get into new school, old school of baseball, also more of this Astros scandal and some predictions with Billy Ripken. Coming on back, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.